The following content is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. You're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Tech Tips. Coming up on this month's episode of Tech Tips, the new eSight 4. And if you're in the market for a new Braille display, I've got a review on the Mantis Q40. That's what's coming up on this month's episode of Tech Tips. We've talked about the eSight eyewear before, but now eSight announces the new eSight 4. This comes to us courtesy of the Access World magazine. eSight, a vision enhancement platform, announced the launch of its latest innovation, eSight 4. eSight's wearable assistive device is clinically validated to significantly enhance vision for those who are suffering from eye disease and disorders that lead to low vision and legal blindness. eSight 4 aims to set a new standard of enhanced vision technology by providing even greater visual clarity, a more versatile hardware design to enable unprecedented mobility and all-day use, and incorporates a new advanced cloud-based capability and mobile apps. eSight 4 built upon the success of eSight 3. Since that time, thousands of users have joined eSight's community, living with visual acuities ranging from 2060 to 2400. Perfect vision is 20/20. This is caused by more than 20 different eye conditions, including macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy, and Stargardt's disease. eSight's vision-enhancing technology works by stimulating this remaining synaptic activity in the user's eyes to provide the brain with increased visual information. eSight 4 incorporates extensive research and feedback from users to bring new advancements in three key areas. Greater visual acuity. The new eSight 4 combines the best matched camera, lenses, and screens that are backed by powerful custom software so the user can see more clearly and in greater detail. More powerful software capabilities, including improved autofocus, applauded by early wearers, and 2x the maximum brightness. Advanced controls that continue to allow wearers to take control of their vision with 24x zoom, focus, and brightness, but now also include custom viewing modes. 2 high-resolution screens for full binocular vision that integrate with the user's own prescription lenses to enable even greater visual clarity. New hardware design for greater mobility. eSight 4 is a mobile and versatile device that moves seamlessly with the wearer's lifestyle, whether reading or out on the go, wireless and hands-free. The eSight 4 head-mounted device includes easy-to-use built-in controls for true freedom and active living. Thoughtfully designed, a new eSight 4 halo band and easy swap back battery perfectly distributes the weight for all-day comfort and use. eSight maintains its patented bioptic tilt feature, which allows users to see what's in front of them using eSight and maintain what's around them using their remaining peripheral vision. Now cloud-based with new mobile apps. Leveraging the best of today's virtual possibilities, eSight 4 provides advanced capabilities in terms of community, support, entertainment, and connectivity. An eSight exclusive feature, Shared Accounts, allows users to invite loved ones or eSight support to accurately see what they see and help customize their experience. Using the mobile app, users can view their mobile screens on their eSight where they can freeze and zoom to see the details, watch video streaming on their phone, on their eSight, and save and share photos and videos captured on their eSight to the user's mobile device. Cloud-based, users get instant access to the latest features, which sets the stage for new possibilities for innovative community and adaptive learning capabilities. eSight 4 is available for purchase through a growing number of optometrists, ophthalmologists, distributors specializing in low vision assistive technology, and at the eSight website. If you would like to visit the eSight website and learn more about the eSight 4 or purchase one of your own, their website address is eSighteyewear.com.
If you find yourself in the market for a new Braille display, Mantis has a new one. This article is entitled A Review of the Mantis Q40 QWERTY Braille Display by American Printing House and HumanWare. It comes to us courtesy of Access World Magazine, and it is written by Scott DeVert. In the current Braille display market, most devices use a Perkins-style keyboard. This allows for more portability and the option of typing contracted Braille, which some people find preferable. One of the disadvantages of a Braille display with a Perkins-style keyboard is that the individual has to learn a series of specific commands for controlling either the Braille display itself or its driving screen reader. A device has come along to address the challenge of learning new commands for each operating system. That device, on which I am currently composing this article, is the Mantis Q40. Unlike many of its counterparts, this device comes equipped with a standard QWERTY keyboard. It also has a set of internal applications for file management, composing and editing documents, reading books, and performing calculations. It also provides the option to download Bookshare and NFB Newsline content directly to the device. Finally, it has the capability to connect up to 5 Bluetooth devices simultaneously, along with the USB connection. Inside the box is the Mantis Q, USB power adapter, an A to USB cable for charging and connecting to external devices, and a Braille and Print Getting Started Guide. The units shipping now also come with a protective TPU case. One was not included with mine, since there were some delays due to the COVID-19 pandemic. I asked Greg Stilson, APH Head of Global Innovation, to describe the case, and this was his response. This is basically a green case that the Mantis sits in when being used. It covers the bottom and all edges for protection. It does not, however, have a closing flap. APH does sell an optional executive products case made of high-quality leather for those professionals who will be on the move. TPU stands for thermoplastic polyurethane. It is made up of plastic, elastic, and rubber, and it is extremely common in the mobile phone case industry. Placing the Mantis on a flat surface with the Braille display nearest you, it is laid out as follows. On the front of the device, there are a series of 5 buttons, or thumb keys. From left to right, they are Previous, Pan Left, Home, Pan Right, and Next. The Previous thumb key will take you to the previous item. The Pan Left button pans the Braille to the left. The Home button, which can also serve as an escape key, will take you home. The Pan Right key will pan the Braille to the right. And the next key will take you to the next item. Along the side of the device, the closest thing to you is a Type A USB port. Behind that is a small, round power button, and furthest from you is the USB-C port. The USB-A female port is used to plug in a flash drive to manage data. To start the device, press and hold the power button for about 2 seconds. The device takes about 15 seconds to start up. The Mantis will indicate starting on the Braille display. A progress spinner will indicate that the device is booting until it is ready. A brief press of the power button while on puts it to sleep. Another brief press of the power button wakes the device. The USB-C port is used to both charge the Mantis and also to connect with external devices through USB. Along the back edge, you will find a slot for SD cards. The Mantis accepts SD cards up to 64 gigabytes. The closest thing to you on the surface is the 40-cell display. To me, the Braille feels a lot like the Braille Note Touch and has a slightly spongy feel to it. Behind each cell is the cursor routing button. Behind the cursor routing buttons, you will find a QWERTY keyboard. It has a very similar layout to a laptop keyboard without the number pad. The bottom row of keys from left to right are as follows: Control, Function, Windows, Left Alt, Spacebar, Right Alt, Right Control, Left Arrow, Down Arrow, and Right Arrow. Slightly above the down arrow is the up arrow key. On a Mac or iOS device, the functions of the bottom row are slightly different than on Windows and the internal programs. To the left of the spacebar, starting at the left edge, are the Control key, Function, Option, and Command keys. To the right of the spacebar are the Option and Right Control key. The remaining five rows of keys reflect what is typically your QWERTY keyboard layout on a laptop without a number pad. For more details, you can consult the user guide, which explains the rest of the layout in detail. When you start the Mantis, you will be at the main menu. Just like with Windows, you can navigate among your choices by pressing the up or down arrow keys. If you are in an application, you can press the Windows or Home key to return to the main menu. Pressing Escape will close the application or menu as well. Also, similar to Windows, you can use first letter navigation to jump to menu items. The difference between the Windows keyboard command set and the Mantis is that pressing the Alt key while using an internal application does not activate the application's menu. You will instead need to press Control plus M. Shift plus F10, which usually launches context menus within Windows, also doesn't work. When you turn the Mantis on for the first time, it will most likely be set to uncontracted Braille. If so, and if you wish to use contracted Braille, press Alt plus Control plus G. If you prefer, you can change any kind of Braille settings by creating a profile. Profiles allow you to quickly change any Braille settings, but also allow the user to quickly switch among other supported languages. To do this, choose Settings from the main menu. The second option is Braille Profile. Use your down arrow key to locate Add Profile. Press Enter, and once the settings are to your liking, press Enter to proceed. Once you have configured the new profile, select a name when prompted, then press Enter. After you have saved the profile, you can use the previous or next thumb keys, the arrow keys, or the first letter of the name of the profile. It should load within a couple of seconds. The profile in use will be indicated by dots 7 and 8 in the first cell. Continuing to explore the settings menu, the topmost item is User Settings. Select this item to set system level options. Items are toggled on and off by pressing Enter. Separate items for managing Wi-Fi and Bluetooth connections are also accessed from the Settings menu. The Mantis comes equipped with 16 gigabytes of internal storage. It also supports flash drives and SD cards. The File Manager application allows you to browse, open any supported file type, delete, copy, cut, paste, and even search for a file within multiple connected drives. I found that even when a drive has hundreds of files, the search only takes a few seconds. You can only search for a file name, not its contents. The supported file types by the Mantis include BRF, text, Word documents, and zip files that contain text or BRF from Bookshare. Text-based files, such as text and documents, will open nearly instantaneously. BRF and special Braille files will take a little more time since they are translated into text format. A 450 kilobyte BRF file from Bookshare took approximately 10 seconds to load. The same book downloaded in DAISY format took about 3 seconds to load. The Editor application allows you to open, create, and save files in plain text format. Though you can open files in BRF, BRL, text, document, and Word document formats, any editing or creation of the file will be saved in text format. You can edit, copy, cut, paste, find, find and replace, select, select blocks of text, auto-scroll, and use a read-only mode in case you don't want to modify the open file. The menu structure closely follows that of a Windows word processing program, as does the keyboard command structure. When creating or opening a file, you will find that there are brackets that show the cursor's location. These follow you as you type. There is an option to type in Braille within the editor. Pressing the F12 key will toggle between QWERTY and Braille modes. When in Braille mode, the home row of QWERTY keyboard is used to enter Braille cells. The type of input, contracted or uncontracted, depends on the Braille profile in use. Rapid typing with this input method is reliable, and the translation into text format is instantaneous. Typing on the Mantis keyboard seems to be about as quiet as a conventional laptop. Tapping the power button will put the Mantis into a standby mode that retains any changes in your current file. When you wake the Mantis back up, that current file will instantly appear and you can continue editing. The drawback to this method is that if the system crashes for some reason, your work will not be saved. I've been using the Mantis for 3 weeks now in my daily workflow and have only had the Mantis crash on me once prior to the release of the 1.01 firmware. Notably absent from the editor is any sort of spell checking function. I hope that one can be included with a future firmware update, though I understand that this may not be a desired feature in the education environment. I found using the editor intuitive and enjoy the fact that I can save files directly to a plain text document. Multiple storage and connectivity options allow for seamless sharing of files between devices and people. The calculator application is very straightforward and appears to work as advertised. If you have used a calculator within Windows, you will already be familiar with the keyboard shortcuts to carry out most of the functions. The Mantis can download content from Bookshare and NFB Newsline if you have an account. Within the Bookshare application, you will find the option to configure your account and also to choose your preferred format. I first chose BRF, but later chose DAISY for the increased navigability. After logging into Bookshare, you have options to search by title, author, or keyboard, or perform a full text search. There are also options to browse by most popular, recently added, and category. Once you perform a search or browse by one of the options listed, you will be presented with a list of titles. To get more information, select the title to be presented with options to download, learn the author, or read the synopsis. I find it convenient to search and download content internally. It would be even better if the author were added to each result so you could see who wrote the title without having to select it. Like the Bookshare application, NFB Newsline requires the user to have a valid username and password in order to access materials. The first option in the application is Configure Account, which not only allows you to log in, but gives you the option to set how often you would like your list of publications to be updated and if old issues of these publications should be kept or automatically deleted once new issues arrive. If you already have a list of subscriptions, they will automatically be added to the list of content you will download. My favorites and subscriptions are the same, so it's possible this list is generated from my favorites. You can add other publications by selecting Manage Publications from the Applications menu, and then selecting the publications to which you want to subscribe. Press Escape when done. Publications are indicated by dots 7 and 8 underneath the title. The library application is where you can go to find and read your downloaded content. Alternatively, you can open the content in the File Manager application, though you won't have as much navigation capability with this method. The library allows you to sort by the most recent downloads, to pull up an alphabetized list of downloaded content and to search for a specific file name. The load time for files are the same as when you're in the file manager. You have access to all the same editor capabilities, and there is support for the robust navigation when reading formats such as DAISY. This means, for example, if you have a DAISY book downloaded from Bookshare, you can quickly jump from chapter to chapter. You can also jump quickly between sections and articles when viewing content downloaded from NFB Newsline. Sections are typically at level 2, while individual articles are typically at heading level 3. When you have set the navigation to what you prefer using Control plus T while in a book, you can then press the Previous and Next keys to jump by the element you have the Mantis set to. Only those navigation options available for the currently open book will be shown. These include Sentence, Paragraph, Level, Percentage, and Bookmark. There is also an option to activate auto-scroll when reading. This is also present within the editor, and I found that the feature was reliable even after 30 minutes of continuous use. Another useful feature is the ability to set multiple bookmarks within a title. This is an option I wish I had had while in college. It would have made jumping directly to content much more efficient. Let's get connected. Another feature of the Mantis is its ability to connect to external devices through Bluetooth or USB. At the time of this writing, Android does not yet support the Mantis. I did not have a Mac to test, so this review is based on the screen reader options I had available. The Mantis supports up to 5 Bluetooth connections along with 1 USB connection. To switch between connected devices, you must press the Home key to back out of the connected device's control and then choose another option from the list of connected devices. It is not possible to jump directly from one connected device to another with shortcut keys. I tested the Mantis with iOS 13.6 on my iPhone SE 2020. The first notable thing about the iOS connection process with the Mantis is that it's paired through Settings, Bluetooth, and not through VoiceOver. The user guide explains how to do this from the Mantis side. It's compatible with iOS version 13.5.1 or later, though the typing experience under 13.6 certainly seems more stable than what I found under iOS 13.5.1. Prior to updating to 13.6 and updated the Mantis firmware to version 1.01, I found the Braille display portion of the Mantis would not always connect with iOS. The keyboard itself would stay reliably connected. With the updates, the problem rarely happened. Toggling on and off Bluetooth has reliably fixed the issue. You can do this on your iOS device or use the Retry to Connect option on the Mantis. When using the Mantis, it is possible for a deaf, blind person to reestablish the connection. This is because the Mantis itself tries to reestablish the connection automatically. It's important to have your device nearby and to wait a few minutes when attempting to reconnect. When connected, the Mantis not only displays Braille, but also serves as a Bluetooth keyboard. Although the Mantis was able to type when my output was set to contracted Braille, when set to 8-dot Braille, it was not only more reliable, but faster. Almost all of the commands found on a Bluetooth keyboard are the same as what you have on the Mantis. There was one keyboard command not available, which was the option to see VoiceOver announcement history. Most displays have this as an option by pressing spacebar plus N, but since the Mantis does not use Braille input, this is not an option. Pressing F12 to toggle between QWERTY input and Braille input mode doesn't work when connected to an external device. When connected to iOS, I was unable to get the function keys to work as expected. Knowing how to use QuickNav and the VoiceOver modifier keys are important if you are using a Bluetooth keyboard connected to iOS. One of the nice things about using a Bluetooth keyboard with your iOS device is the ability to unlock the device without touching the screen. Pressing VO plus H will prompt you to enter your passcode. As long as the iOS device is connected to the Mantis, this never seems to fail. It's also important to note that updating the Mantis may result in having to repair any Bluetooth connections that were previously established. Using Mantis with NVDA. NVDA version 2020.1 was used for this evaluation on Windows 10. Connecting to NVDA was quite easy. Going into the NVDA menu when launched and then selecting the Braille preferences and selecting the Mantis queue should automatically work if the Mantis is connected to your PC via Bluetooth or USB. Using the Mantis with NVDA is a pleasant experience. Infrequently, Braille output would stop, though the PC continued to accept input from the keyboard. Restarting NVDA seemed to correct the issue. This seemed to occur more often over Bluetooth than USB. The Mantis Q is compatible with JAWS 18 and later. JAWS versions older than the July 2020 update require the installation of the most current drivers, which can be found on the APH website. Once the installation file is downloaded, you can follow the prompts and then add the Braille display using the same procedure that you would with any other display using JAWS. I tested the Mantis with two different laptops, first on USB and then Bluetooth. One laptop did not allow for Braille output until I plugged it into a USB hub to give it enough power. This PC was older. I didn't have to do the same thing when I used a 2018 laptop. In the case of the older laptop, the keyboard functioned as it should, and once connected to a USB port that could supply enough power, the process of using the Braille output was also effective. With both NVDA and JAWS, you will want to be sure to have the modifier key set to caps lock, as the Mantis doesn't have an insert key. With JAWS, I found it most effective to use the laptop layout for my keyboard. In conclusion, the Mantis Q is a Braille display that will certainly appeal if you are in the market for a 40-cell option, particularly if you don't want to learn a new set of commands to operate a Braille display connected to various devices. In terms of the education market, this device falls right in line with learning how to use a standard QWERTY keyboard, the ability to download Bookshare and NFB Newsline content, adds yet another compelling reason to consider the Mantis Q40. Battery life ranged from 12 to 17 hours, depending on Bluetooth and Wi-Fi use. In its sleep or standby mode, I found that there was very little drain on the battery, maybe 1% for each hour. I also liked the ability to check the date and time on the fly, and also to learn the battery percentage with keyboard shortcuts. If you are someone who likes the option of downloading content to your device, who prefers a QWERTY keyboard interface, or who needs options for collaborating with colleagues without connecting to an external device, the Mantis Q40 is worth your consideration. The Mantis Q40 is available either through APH or by contacting your local Humanware dealer. They will be able to give you pricing and availability information. The Mantis Q40 does have a bit of a sticker shock to it. It will set you back $2,495.
We've run out of time for today's episode of Tech Tips. Be sure to tune in next month. I'm Chris Skidmore, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Tech Tips is readily available as a podcast after this broadcast by visiting our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And as always, thank you for listening to Tech Tips.